Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in God's Word in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Then turning to Psalm 23, Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All of Psalm 23. And then finally, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 12. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the sea shore. Verses 1 through 12, Hebrews chapter 11. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful and the blessed and the precious and the mighty gift of your word. Thank you for the opportunity you give us of being able to open your word every day and spend time one-on-one with you as you speak words of life, salvation, grace, power, wisdom, encouragement, and so much more through us as we read and meditate on your word and as we spend time one-on-one with you in our daily appointment with you. Father, with every passing day, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word, and empower us more and more to be the faithful hearers and doers of your word that you would have us to be, and help us to grow in our understanding of the need for us to live, to be available vessels through which your spirit can work every single day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick will share a word of prayer with us at this time.
God, we're so thankful that we can come before your throne of grace today, and we acknowledge that it's because of your Son and his sacrifice on a cross for us. We thank you for that. We praise you. And Father, we pray for the broadcast today, that you would give our listeners ears to hear what you have to say to them through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to have you listening in. An ongoing reminder, we want to encourage you to take the time to visit the AFA Resource Center, where you'll find some online features and exclusive products to help equip you as a disciple and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. There you'll find ministry resources, original video content, and books to help you grow in your Christian walk, you and your family, and so much more. Stop by and pick up some of the great resources and join thousands of others in helping to transform our culture. Visit the AFA Resource Center. Go to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. Hope you'll take the time to do that. The AFA Resource Center is a ministry of the American Family Association. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Shortly, we'll be reading through God's Word today. But just a reminder before we get started further with our reading, that it's very important that we as believers grasp that we seek to grow in our understanding of how important it is for us to be students of Scripture, students of the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. And the Lord told us on one occasion in His Word, He said, man shall, well, actually, this is in more than one place in the Word of God, but it tells us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. Now listen again to the great and eternal wisdom behind that truth that the Lord spoke to us, both in the Old and New Testament. Again, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. Now stop and think about this very important truth. Most human beings understand the importance of bread, that is, the importance of food. Food nourishes our body. It helps to maintain us. It helps us to maintain our health and our strength. It gives us the strength to sustain our physical bodies and so much more. Food is important to our physical life. God's Word is much more important than the physical food that we eat. In fact, just like food ministers to our physical body, the Word of God ministers to every aspect of our being. It ministers to our mind, body, and spirit. And so we're not to live by food alone, but we're to live by the food of the Spirit, the Word of God, which nourishes every aspect of our being and empowers us to walk with God, to live for God, to live for His praise, glory, and honor. I've shared before with you, but I want to remind you, 7 great ways to use God's Word, and I share them not just to rattle off a list, but I want you to think about the fact that every way that we can use the Word of God and put it to work usefully, it will bless us and help us to become more fruitful vessels in the hands of the Holy Spirit as we put God's Word to work in our lives. Again, 7 ways we can use God's Word daily. We can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it. Now, all of them are important. All of them help to edify us, and all of them stir the anointing in our lives, but they're not quite the same thing. You can read the Word of God, but not choose to believe it. You can read the Word of God, but not choose to meditate on it. You can pray the Word of God. Again, all of them are important. You can obey the Word of God. All of them are important, but they're, again, not quite the same thing, but all of them edify us and encourage us. We're wise to strive to use God's Word in these ways every single day. So again, every day we can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it. So as we have these broadcasts specifically that are about reading God's Word, we're reading and sharing the Word of God with them. One hope is that definitely will bless, edify, and encourage you. But also, we're believing God that the Holy Spirit will reach through this broadcast to stir you to become a much more diligent student of God's Word yourself. Remember, when you're reading God's Word, many important things are happening. When you're reading God's Word, remember the Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. So you're not just, it's not simply an academic exercise. It's so much more than that. Jesus is spending time with you. He's pouring grace, peace, mercy, and power into your mind, your spirit, and your life when you read and meditate on the Word of God. Also remember, when you're reading the Word of God is reading you as well. The Word of God is working, molding, and shaping you and helping you to become more and more what the Lord wants you to be. God's Word works on us. Remember, and remember this, the Word of God is the power of God. The Word of God is the grace of God. These are things that strengthen us and help us in our walk with the Lord. So my encouragement to you is that you, if you don't have the habit of reading 3 chapters in your Bible every day, I would encourage you to start that habit today. And keep in mind, reading the Word of God, for example, as you read 3 chapters, it could be the same chapter, which is fine. If you decide to read the same chapter 3 times over, that's great. That's fine. Because one of the reasons why that's very wise, actually, is because when you read it the first time, it will bless and encourage you. But as you read it a second time, you can begin to meditate and think on it more deeply. And when you read it the third time, you can receive even more from it. And it soaks deeper and deeper into your mind, heart, and spirit. So there's great wisdom and fruit in reading and meditating on the same chapter over and over and over again. And remember this, you will never get to the bottom of it. There's more truth and treasure to be found in every passage, in fact, every word in the Word of God. And so keep in mind, it's important that we understand why our time in God's Word is so important. Romans 1:16 tells us, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." The Word of God is the power of God. It's the grace of God. It's the light of God. It's the blessing of God, and so, so much more. So as we read, we hope that you will allow the Word of God to work on you, to mold and shape you as well. Hope that you'll take the time to do that. We pick up now reading in the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Again, 2 Kings chapter 2, starting at verse 1. "And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha to Gilgal." Excuse me, with Elisha from Gilgal. "Then Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. For the Lord has sent me on to Bethel.' But Elisha said, 'As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?' And he said, 'Yes, I know. Keep silent.' Then Elijah said to him, 'Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?' So he answered, 'Yes, I know. Keep silent.' Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?' Elisha said, 'Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me.'" Verses 1 through 9, 2 Kings chapter 2. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be back.
Looking for a way out. sold this heart of mine. It's you, it's you, Lord, it's you. Then everything else just falls in line.
Music of Toby Mac, It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up now in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, picking up at verse 6. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. And if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Then they said to him, "Look now, there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let them go and search for your master, lest perhaps the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley." And he said, "You shall not send anyone." But when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, "Send them." Therefore they sent 50 men, and they searched for 3 days, but did not find him. And when they came back to him, for he had stayed in Jericho, he said to them, "Did I not say to you, do not go?" Then the men of the city said to Elisha, "Please notice, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground barren." And he said, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt there and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness." So the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. Then he went up from there to Bethel. And as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, "Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head." So he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. Then he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. 2 Kings chapter 3. Now Jehoram the son of Ahab became king over Israel at Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and mother, for he put away the sacred pillar of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he persisted in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. He did not depart from them. Now Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep breeder, and he regularly paid the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and the wool from 100,000 rams. But it happened when Ahab died that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So King Jehoram went out of Samaria at that time and mustered all Israel. Then he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." Then he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "By way of the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days, and there was no water for the army, nor for the animals that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, "Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother." But the king of Israel said to him, "No, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. But now bring me a musician." Then it happened when the musician played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches, but thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. Also you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and shall cut down every good tree, and stop up every spring of water, and ruin every good piece of land with stones." Now it happened in the morning, when the grain offering was offered, that suddenly water came by way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them, all who were able to bear arms and older were gathered, and they stood at the border. Then they rose up early in the morning, and the sun was shining on the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, "This is blood. The kings have surely struck swords and have killed one another. Now therefore, Moab to the spoil." So when they came to the camp of Israel, Israel rose up and attacked the Moabites, so that they fled before them, and they entered their land, killing the Moabites. Then they destroyed the cities And each man threw a stone on every good piece of land and filled it. And they stopped up all the springs of water and cut down all the good trees. But they left the stones of Ker Haraseth intact. However, the slingers surrounded and attacked it. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too fierce for him, he took with him 700 men who drew swords to break through to the king of Edom. But they could not. Then he took his eldest son, who would have reigned in his place, and offered him as a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel. So they departed from him and returned to their own land. 2 Kings chapter 4. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand. So it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?'" She answered, "I dwell among my own people." So he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Actually, she has no son, and her husband is old." So he said, "Call her." When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elijah had told her. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, "My head, my head." So he said to a servant, "Carry him to his mother." When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back." So he said, Why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, It is well. Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, Look, the Shunammite woman. Please run now to meet her and say to her, Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God at the hill, we've been reading through the Word of God, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 23. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back. Mosaic, Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue reading through the Word of God now as we pick up in the New Testament, the book of Colossians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked, when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Colossians chapter 4. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will make known to you all things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in his house. Now when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. End of the book of Colossians. Before our time ends today, I want to take a few moments to go through our prayer tool that's entitled Kingdom Prayers. And I want to remind you, if you haven't gotten it, email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. It has 10 biblically based prayers found in it. I would encourage you to email us and get a copy. Use it for you and your family, but also share it far and wide because it's a very fruitful tool for believers to use. The first prayer, of course, is a prayer for salvation. And so that helps this prayer tool entitled Kingdom Prayers to be an evangelism tool that you can share with others. You can, by way of email, share it with others who need to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior and encourage them to take time to pray through the prayers, including the salvation of the salvation prayer. And of course, you can pray it as a prayer to recommit your heart to the Lord as well. I'd like to say for persons that are listening today, as we normally do it towards the end of the broadcast, if you're someone who's listening and you've never given your heart to Jesus, today is a good day to get saved. Today is a good day to pray and invite Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior. It's the first prayer listed in the Kingdom Prayer Tools prayer tool. And so if you're listening and desire to be saved and desire to receive Christ, I invite you to pray this prayer with me. Or if you're listening and you desire to pray it as a recommitment prayer, we invite you to pray it with us even now. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Lord, I recognize I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. I repent from all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all the wrong things I've done. I do believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe that 3 days later you rose from the dead so that I could be saved. Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to die for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And of course, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we invite you to take the time now specifically to email us to let us know, because we'd like to be in touch with you, to share with you some encouragement and spiritual nourishment for you in your brand new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. The next prayer listed on the prayer tool, Kingdom Prayers, is the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. End of the Lord's Prayer. The next one listed, the third prayer, is the Prayer of Jabez. Again, a wise prayer for us to pray absolutely every day of our lives. Lord, bless me indeed. Expand my territory. Place your hand anew upon me and keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And then the next one is, of course, praying the Ten Commandments. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for me and my family. Thank you, Lord, for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for us as a nation. Help us, Lord, as individual believers, as families. Help us as the church, and help us as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Praying the Ten Commandments. And then specifically, one of the prayers listed also is the prayer praying Psalm 91. And this is a prayer we're encouraging every believer to take time to pray this every day of your life. We hope that you'll do that. A great prayer for divine protection of both your health and from physical danger in the world. Let's pray Psalm 91 together. Lord, today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today I say to the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And one of the prayers listed is the heavenly benediction God gave through Aaron, the brother of Moses. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Once again, to get a copy of the prayer tool, Kingdom Prayer, simply email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to share it with you, and our encouragement is that you'll use it every day for you and your family, but also email it to family, friends, and others, because everyone can use help, strength, and encouragement in their prayer life and in their walk with the Lord as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, the email, jparker@afa.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.